welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 355. Wow. My name is John Morgan. Cold Coffee is with me, and Cold Coffee is just crushing some frosty beverages over there, man. The award-winning Pabst Blue Ribbon is going down awfully smooth for some reason.
I don't know.
I don't know what's happening over here, but the man is putting in work.
Doing laps on Morgan over there.
We came over here to the Casa de Cold Coffee, the all-new Casa de Cold Coffee, new and improved. For whatever reason, man, I don't know if it's just the fancier digs that you're in now, or maybe it's just, you know, the new neighborhood. That's what kind of happens over here in these parts.
We drink quicker over here.
But you're just putting in work right in front of my eyes. I'm up here trying to finish up my work a little bit, and you're just putting me to shame, just crushing them.
I know. I was looking over. I was like, man, should I go grab some more? I was like, oh, man, he hasn't even cracked open that other one. I was like, wow, am I going to start lapping Morgan? Like, what's going on?
I feel like, honestly, I need to just be silent for a little bit. Let just go solid cold coffee, or just so I can
just
get
start chugging.
I mean, it's just, I feel like it's an attack to my manhood right now at this point, man.
Turn in the car.
Just getting embarrassed over here. Just getting embarrassed over here. All right, listen. It's a busy day. It's kind of a fun day.
Oh, well, wow. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Let me take back that kind of fun. I don't even know where that came out. It was a little bit of a stressful day. UFC on ESPN 32 Media Day was earlier today, and we'll get into all that. Invicta Fighting Championships about to be streaming live on MMA Junkie as we sit down to record this. You were handling the stream. You're doing a little technological work behind the scenes, but I just want to give a shout-out. I mean, by the time this, you know, is released to the public, I'm sure the event will be done and in the books. I mean, the replay will be available, of course, that you can check it out and watch it. But Invicta FC 45 streaming live on MMA Junkie.
I love it. I mean, like we said, even last time when we chatted, man, we've been big proponents of Invicta. But the fact that we can actually carry it on our channel, I mean, it's just fantastic. It's funny because even I'm reading some of the chat to people in the stream. They're like, is this real? Is this just going to be the prelims? Is this just going to be whatever? Because, you know, we've carried like Bellator sometimes. Yeah. We'll carry whatever. But to be able to carry the main event, this is big. I'm extremely proud that this deal got worked out, that we could do it. I mean, I would love for us to become something bigger and a bigger part of them putting on their platform. I'm just glad it's being out there. I love Invicta. I love what they're doing. And, I'm super stoked, man. But, yeah, man, it was a crazy long day, and then it's just like – We're not done yet.
Got to get to this. By the way, the main event, like I said, it'll be in the books, but in case you don't see the results before you listen to this, or you want a grudge match in the main event, Alicia Zapatella, Jessica Daboni, rematch there, especially Alicia Zapatella. She is not a fan of Jessica Daboni at all. Alicia won their first fight, very narrow split decision, and Jessica basically afterwards told the world, she was like, I don't care what the results were. She's like, I know I won, and I'm the champ, and Alicia did not take very kindly to that. She said, no, you are not the champ. I got the belt sitting around here. So looking forward to that one streaming later on tonight. But, yes, UFC on ESPN 32 Media Day was today. After a three-week hiatus, the UFC is back. And Cold Coffee, you know me, man. I try to be a positive person. I try to be, you know, a good energy of light to bring into this world. But I got to be honest with you, man. If this is the way 2022 is starting – we might be in for some shit over the next couple of months, or at least the next couple of weeks, because the card was essentially being shuffled in front of our eyes.
Yep.
I feel bad saying this. So obviously the UFC PR team is kind of limited in what they can tell us, right? I mean, there's only so many things. First of all, any public communication they have has to be signed off on. They want to make sure they toe that company line. That's their job. So they're not allowed to exactly speak openly and freely about what's happening behind the scenes. But you and I have...
Yeah, it's one thing saying it just to a friend, and it's another saying to the person that actually is a media outlet.
Right,
You know, like, it's one thing if they could be like, oh, man, the shit's just fucking going crazy right now. We can't say it. You can't say that to an outlet.
A reporter is going to just say, well,
the UFC
PR
says
everything
is going to shit.
So I 100% understand that their hands are tied. But just so everybody understands how crazy this stuff is behind the scenes. So we – and you know, what I was going to say is you and I have covered one or two UFC events in our lifetime.
A few of them.
We've worked with some of these people for a little bit of time. So, you know, you can kind of just read the stress on their face, or you can just see when things aren't working properly. And it was very clear that things weren't working properly. It was very clear from the start. Like, for instance, we came to Media Day today without an actual schedule of who we were going to be talking to.
Yeah.
I was joking. I'm like, it's Mystery Media Day. We'll just see who shows up.
We even yesterday, we didn't even get the – we knew – I mean, we've done so many of these things. We kind of guessed, you know, we could say, okay, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a 9:30 check-in. First person going to be at 10:30. That's kind of usually how they just go. We got the – sort of the, you know, I guess obligatory email after 5:30 yesterday that was like – hey, by the way, I don't have a lineup, but by the way, it's going to start at 9:30 tomorrow. Thanks, all. I mean, like,
what?
I guess. You know, because, I mean, obviously, a lot of us, you know, you could kind of do this. You could see the pants. You could just fly by and get some stuff. But if you're trying to actually have worthwhile stuff, you want to be able to kind of know who you're going to speak to,
right,
so you could prep a little. So going in there blind and not knowing who we're going to have until we actually had our first person already brought in to us. They brought in Jennifer Maya, and then we're just like, what is going on? And then they come in and said, okay, sorry, guys, I know this is not ideal, but this is the list of the people that you're going to get. And it's like, you couldn't have given us that last night, or at least a somewhat of a heads up. I understand if fights are possibly falling out or people are having to do whatever, but they just could have given us – they've done this enough time that they could have given us an idea to just even say – prepare for the main event.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry,
the
main
card.
Just prepare for the main card. Then we know, okay, we know that there's going to be no surprise guests coming or whatever.
The biggest fear, if I'm just being honest, and to peel back the curtain a little bit so you understand what goes on and the reporters, I do not have a photographic memory by any stretch of the imagination. And there's so many cards. And I know there's some people that you pull up a name and they're like, yeah, I remember this was his last fight, and then before that was this, and then before that. I can't do that. Now, when I'm looking at Tapology or whatever, and I'm looking at a record, and I'm, oh, yeah, I remember that fight. Yeah, okay, yeah, I was there. Yeah, okay, I can remember. But I need a little bit of memory job. And I know the interviews that we're doing are not rocket science. It's not the most in-depth of interviews. We're trying to get, a good 6 to 8 minutes just so we can get the audio that we need. But at the same time, like, I don't want to sit across from somebody and just completely lie to them because I have no idea. You know what I mean? Like, so, man, that last one – what'd you take from that one? You know, like, oh, you have no, you know, like, oh,
even some of them,
the one where I was knocked out in 7 seconds. What, like, do you think I took from it, you jackass?
Yeah, that's how that ended. Or even like some of the ones where walking into the room, they're masked up and they're walking up to the desk to sit down. And we're just like, who is this? Who is this person? So even if you're not even, even if we had a set order that was like, okay, I know we're going to be expecting this person. We don't know what order of anybody's coming.
Yep.
And then let alone some people would depend on the body, who they are. You can't quite make out who they are. So how do you then at that point, even if you are going to try to go to Tapology, which is what I would try to do.
Right.
I'm like, okay, waiting. Who do I need to pull up? Who do I need to pull up? Who do I need to pull up? It's just, it's just a lot of extra stress that I felt like they were already under very stress. And then they didn't realize that the level of stress that they were pushing on everybody else by not bringing us into the fold, you know? So it was just a little sort of crazy, but we got through it.
We got through it. And
we
so
got through it.
That's how it affected us, which, again, I mean, no big deal. We adapted, and we got through it, and we ended up getting everybody, and it ended up being slow start. I think we sat there for, like, 2 hours with nobody. It was a little bit rough. I know there's some people on the live stream of the media day. They were just like, what in the hell is going on? I'm like, bro, it ain't no easier over here. But we got through it, but I guess – the only reason I share all that is not so that I can just sit here and complain about how tough my day was at work, where all I do is talk to MMA fighters and write about it. Like, I got it. It's not the hardest job in the world. But, you know, I think I'm as excited as anybody. This break, well, I know, and you were right, let's enjoy the break. Let's soak it in because we're not going to get many more of them like that where we have 3 weeks off. I'm ready to get back to action, right? Like, I am ready to get back to action. I'm ready to get the 2022 season going again. You know what I mean? And, dude, this Omicron thing is going to jack up. I think fight cards for the next couple weeks. I hope it's not months, because I really feel, I guess if there's anything positive about this, and I'll just share my own life. My wife and son finally tested positive. Knock on wood. Fortunately, no big symptoms. They seem to be okay. My kid does have a lingering cough that's been kind of bothering me a little bit, just because I'm an overprotective dad, and I'm sure he's fine. And my wife is annoyed at me because she thinks I'm being crazy, but I'm that overprotective dad. So, you know, it's affected my life that way, but it's everybody. So if anybody doesn't know, and I don't know, it might be like this in other places in the country right now. I don't follow national news, but our school system here in Las Vegas just shut down for 5 days because there's so many positive tests right now, and there's not enough teachers and staff to staff the schools. They shut down. So this Omicron is getting to everybody, and what I don't like about it is, and then I'm worried about the next couple weeks, and like I said, I'm hoping it's just weeks and not months because this thing seems to be spreading so fast. It seems to be getting everybody, so maybe this is the wave that gets everybody and we start moving forward. I don't know, but I think cards over the next couple weeks, man, it's going to be make up as you go. I mean, you know, matchmakers feeling it. So it just sucks because, you know, you want to get excited. You want to get pumped up about this matchup and that one. And at this point, you don't know. I mean, even on this card, as we sit here right now, I think we started the day with 12 fights. We're down to 10. We might I know you appreciate the shorter night, but we still don't know. So we still have another one where Joe Anderson Brito had what they call an inconclusive test. And I don't know if it was him or his corner. I'm not sure about that. But basically, he wasn't allowed to come to media day because they want to keep him quarantined from everybody. And they hope that his test will pass and he'll be good to go. But yeah, I mean, this. I think, honestly, this is a preview of what we're going to be dealing with. And, you know, from our perspective, the media day, whatever, we'll figure all that out. It's not that big a deal. But these cards, I think, are going to look different week in and week out on the day of.
Yeah, which is crazy. I mean, it just makes you wonder, like, if, you know, I'm glad that fights are going. I'm glad things are going on. But, man, was there ever any point, like, part of me when I was just thinking about how everything sort of falling apart, I was like, would this happen if we weren't trying to put an event on every single weekend? If we had a little bit of time, I mean, I'm sure there's always going to be things falling out, but I just feel like every week is so rushed that they're always constantly running behind that I wondered if there weren't so many events, if they could properly prepare for things falling out, if they know that there's going to be two events this month, you know, if they already have backups already lined up so there's not this immediate scrambling from behind because they already have already people waiting. I mean, I get it. They got to get people to get in. They got to get fights. But I just feel, I wonder if there's extra stress and extra pressure because they're already so limited in the pool because they're already divvying out so many people to all these other upcoming events. And even then, they seem to sort of fall. I don't know. I just felt like today when I was thinking about why don't we have an order? I was like, why does it feel like we're running from behind when we've had weeks off? And I just feel like there's 270 coming up and there's just too
COVID.
Much.
It's just COVID. I mean, what are you supposed to do? I mean, should you schedule like – what can you do, like schedule 20 fights for the card or something? I mean don't make that – no, because then you'll have a week where nobody gets
– and then skip a week off.
Then nobody will get sick and we'll have a 20-fight lineup, dude. It'll be like old school King of the Cage.
But if we're only doing it, you know, and then we have the next weekend off, then who cares?
Oh, dude. Yeah. All right, let's schedule a 20-fight card. Let's roll for 10 hours. Let's see how you're feeling about that. You're like, well, I got next week off.
If I know I got the whole week off, I'd be all right with it.
You know, I don't know because, you know, I don't know that there's like panic or anything. I mean, the good thing is at least with everything being under the ESPN umbrella, at least they have the flexibility. Like, I mean, I guess if we go down to 6 fights, we just go down to 6 fights, and they just roll on. At least it's not like, you know, your prelims are on Fox, and your main card's over here. Now you got to explain to Fox, and I don't know, man. I think there's going to be a hell of a lot of scrambling, unfortunately. And I guess I would just warn MMA fans, buckle in, because I think you're going to be dealing with this for a while. You know, I guess at the end of the day, we should really be saying, you know, prayers for all the health and safety of the athletes. You know, I mean, we're just like treating this like it's commodities. But I do feel like this wave of COVID seems to not really be impacting people too terribly bad, which is, I don't know, knock on wood there, that's a positive. But, yeah, man, I think cards are going to be falling apart for the next couple of weeks. So heads up on that. All right, but listen, so far as of now, that's me knocking on wood, continue to knock on wood, because I just don't want to be jinxing. Calvin Kattar versus Giga Chikadze. We did get a chance to speak to both of them today. I like this main event. It's a big one for both guys in two very different reasons. Of course, Calvin Kattar, you know, that last time out, that was not a fun fight for him. Not a fun fight. Got styled on by Max Holloway. It was funny to kind of ask him about that. Like, you know, I had been thinking about it over this time because everybody, I mean, that, you know, slipping punches while not even looking and, you know, yelling, "I'm the best boxer in the UFC." I mean, that was an amazing thing from Max Holloway. But it did kind of make me wonder, if you're Calvin, don't you have to be like, "This fucking dickhead right here." What's it? But Calvin smiled a little bit when I asked him about that. But he did have all the respect for Holloway. But there has to be some part of this. It's like, don't be a jackass.
But it was, I kind of like the fact that he was like, you know, "I did say some things, you know, towards the end of the week, you know." So I thought there was something humbling about that. I don't think every fighter would admit that either. And I think that was part of how he was able to maybe justify it, and how he sort of just was like, "Okay, I owed you that. You owed me that."
Right.
You know, I definitely said some stuff, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think that maybe shows his character as well. I think he could have been like, "Yeah, he was kind of a dick, you know," and not take any sort of ownership that he maybe helped bring that onto himself as well.
Right.
I mean, because how often do we see Max do that, you know? We see him go out there, and when he's feeling himself, he'll play it a little bit, but it felt personal.
It did.
It felt – so I was like, okay, angry. Obviously something got under his skin. And so for Calvin to kind of be like, you know, end of the week, you know, we're all sort of tired, we're all working, whatever, I might have said some stuff, you know. So, I mean, I like the fact that he sort of took ownership. So on the flip side of that – you know, it was good because he was like, you know, "I got all the respect for Max. You know, he did what he did, and, you know, and maybe without sort of even saying it, he was like, you know, I kind of brought that on myself, you know." But kudos to him. I thought he talked great about it, and I liked the sense of ownership. Like, if you're gonna talk some shit, and somebody gives it right back to you,
yep,
you know, it's kind of hard for you to bitch about it after the fact, you know.
I respect him, man.
Yeah.
Look, you said it, man. It's his character, and I think Calvin is going to bounce back. I mean, I do think he's still an elite-level fighter, man. I think he's deserving of the ranking.
Got his fucking name on the front of the banner as well, you know, right? I was thinking about that. I was like, man, Giga's coming in with a killer record. And I was
right.
Like, but this ain't Chikadze versus Cater.
Yeah, Cater still got that ranking.
Cater's got
still
that
higher
ranking.
Up.
It is, you know, so good on him.
This is a big moment. And, look, I love the fact that he, you know, did take a year off. Now, he said, look, hey, we were thinking 6 months. I think it ended up being longer than he really initially expected it to be. But I do respect the heck out of him for doing that and, you know, saving the brain cells, saving the body, making sure you're back 100%. So I think he's approaching this the right way. Meanwhile, Giga Chikadze, what a week for Giga Chikadze, right? Comes in thinking, you know, obviously I've got this main event. Then finds out, oh, there might be a chance for a title shot, and he starts thinking, you know, I think I deserve this spot. You know, I think I'm the guy. I think I should be there. You know, I talked to him on Monday night, and I was like, hey, do you think they'll announce something? And he was like, I hope not. He's like, I went and talked to Dana and told him, you know, hang on. And, you know, he's like, I know they got to start, you know, promoting and getting promotional reels together and all that. He's like, but let me wait till this weekend. Let me make another statement and let me jump in there. So, you know, he was hoping that he would get a title shot. It does on Tuesday get announced that no, you know, the Korean Zombie, Chan Sung Jung, is going to be facing Alexander Volkanovski. Giga, of course, said, look, hey, I'm disappointed by it. But in some ways, I kind of think it's a good thing for him because at least there's closure right now. Like, at least he can focus on this, because I did kind of wonder, is that going to prove a distraction for you? I mean, here you are getting ready for a very dangerous opponent in Calvin Kattar, somebody that's got a lot to prove. You know, he's coming off that disappointing performance. He's really going to show the world that, hey, I'm still that guy that everybody thought I was. I know that didn't look so great last time, but I'm still that guy. So he's hungry. He's ready. And Giga, you know, three performances of the nights in a row. I mean, this dude's on a run, 7-0 in the UFC. I mean, really seems to be clicking on all cylinders and wants that title shot. But I was a little bit kind of worried for him. Would this be a distraction, this kind of lingering title shot opportunity? So I won't say it's a blessing that it's done, that he didn't get it. Obviously, the blessing would have been getting a title shot, because then you get a new contract, some fat checks. You know, that's the blessing. But I think maybe it's a good thing that he doesn't have to worry about what's going on with that situation. He doesn't have to let his mind consider all that other stuff. It can really just focus on Calvin Kattar.
Yeah, that's good shit.
Am I crazy?
No, you're right. You're right. So, I mean, Giga is – he's a character, and it's funny. Like, who was it that totally took me out of the loop today? Somebody was like – said, like, what's the name of that? Leon the Professional. It's the movie that was a French guy, and then it had Natalie Portman. It was Natalie Portman's first movie.
Oh, I saw you made a picture, and I didn't know.
So you've never seen that movie?
I'm going to be honest with you. I saw you posted that in our Slack chat. I had zero idea what you were talking about.
Okay, so that's like Natalie Portman's like debut movie. I loved the movie. I thought it was awesome.
The movie's called
Leon the Professional,
Leon the Professional.
Yeah, that or maybe it was called Hitman. I want to say it was Leon the Professional. or it's called The Professional.
The Professional?
But I think his name was Leon. So I think
maybe
it's
Leon
Professional.
The Professional Hitman.
Something along those lines. It might have just been called The Professional. But it's got a
professional
super young
hitman
like
named Leon.
She's got a super young Natalie Portman. But his whole outfit's literally like what he would wear. He wore a little beanie and he had like the sunglasses. So somebody said that like early on and it completely threw me off. So I couldn't stop thinking about it. So as he was up there chatting, I downloaded an image and I'm like making this image
that's
where I'm
hilarious.
Putting like Giga's face over
I wonder,
it.
I wonder if that's like that's what he was going for. Like I'm the hitman.
I think he's one that looked before though, and I didn't think about it. And now I would just say, okay, that's just his look, I guess. But if he was, he should have been like using that and saying like I'm the hitman. I'm
right.
The blah 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 or whatever. But it literally threw me off and I couldn't stop thinking about it today. But if you've never actually seen it, it's actually a
it's
I like the movie.
Out.
It's good. It's worth checking out. And it's funny because Natalie Portman even said like, because a lot of people sort of like she was like a young girl, but that was like homeless. He was protecting her, whatever. And there was a point where she started like feeling like womanly, and a lot of people are like, oh, she's way too young. And so she was starting to get like people were sexualizing her after that. And she was like 13 or 14 or 15 when she was in this movie. But she, after the fact, was like, dude, they could never make that movie today because sensibilities and people would just
right.
freak the fuck out of having a young girl sort of do this. But this
so,
was like
so
in the
Leon's
90s.
A pedophile?
No, he was good. Like, he was good. He was professional, but it was her trying to come on to him.
Oh.
Like, because she was growing or whatever. And I think a lot of people now would be like, I can't believe you made a movie and you had like a young girl like trying to come on this dude or whatever.
Right.
But it was like
trying to what? Trying to what?
Come on to this dude. But it was a.
I was gonna let it go.
I was like,
I definitely heard it.
I can't leave that fucking alone. She was just like she was coming of age and but no, the movie was awesome. That was what Giga. So yeah, if you guys haven't, there's pictures that have floated around. It was Fellows that fucked me up, Mark that fucked me up, because he tweeted something and that he gave me the inspiration to actually go find that image. So it totally threw me off through that whole interview. But no, I mean Giga, he's got his work put out for him. But man, he's on such a high right now. He's on such a level. And as much as Cater was just fighting whatever. I just think Cater's coming in with all the momentum in the world, man.
So did you take Cater in your picks?
I did.
Wow.
I did. No, I'm sorry. I took did I say Cater was coming?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Chikadze.
Okay.
Chikadze's coming in with everything.
Okay, I was like, what?
No.
I thought you were saying because he had everything
sorry,
to prove.
I'm getting thrown off because the Invicta feed's starting to like preview my thing. So I was like, I was looking at it, and I was like, why am I getting a warning thing? And I literally, my wires got twisted. No, Giga is, I picked Giga in this.
This is, by the way, that mistake is totally because you're multitasking and not because you've been crushing award-winning Pathley Ribbon.
I am crushing them,
they're going
but
down.
No, I have not There's got a, sloppy yet at all.
A little
all.
Pile of soldiers over there,
you know,
man.
Which, if I started slurring my words more when I was talking about girls and coming on to older men, you know.
Moving on. no, I took Giga as well. Your reigning 2021
yes,
MMA Junkie Staff Picks Champion, the official selection is Giga Chikadze. So, I mean, I'm not saying you should tail me on that. In fact, I'm really saying you shouldn't. But I took Giga Chikadze as well.
Now as the picks leader, now we should go into the picks section. Because in case we did, don't tell anybody. Just give me your main card. Give me who'd you pick for?
I got to give you my whole main card right now.
Well, but there's only four.
But I mean,
fights.
We're kind of gonna go. Well, I don't even know what the main card is anymore.
I guess that's true. All right. Well, I guess we'll wait. And I just want to get the picks. I know I forget to ask you. I feel like we picked the same on most of them. I think there might have been one or two. Did you pick Royval?
I did pick Brandon Royval.
I don't think I picked Royval. And now after seeing him today, I'm like, I probably should have picked.
That's
him.
A good fight. That's a good fight. So here's
that is a good
so
fight.
Here's what's interesting. The bout order changed. And I'm gonna, you know, you're trying to get me to reveal my picks right away. I mean, I guess I can. I went Brandon Royval.
Yeah, we're gonna give them. We won't get through all the picks. We'll eventually forget. And
true. Okay. All right.
I feel like we should start giving since we're now the pick peeps.
I mean,
this is the point where you champions. We both pay your money, folks. This is where you earn your money.
Definitely not why anybody's listening. But my picks, Giga Chikadze, Caitlin Chookagian, Brandon Royval, Jake Collier, and Bill Algeo. That was which now we have a different main card, so I guess things are going to get changed up a little bit because it hasn't been published yet. So that's what I was going to get to. The new co-main event is Jake Collier versus Chase Sherman.
Really?
Yes, and I'm a little surprised by that.
I am too. I thought it was Chookagian.
Well, it originally was. So I thought if you're going to move anything, you move Rogério Bontorin and Brandon Royval. Like, wouldn't you put that one in the co-main event if it's, you know, if we're doing the booking? So, and I don't mean that as any disrespect to Jake Collier and Chase Sherman, who, by the way, were both great, first of all, because they both we talked to both of them today. Both of them are like, hey, this is going to be a slugfest. We know nobody's moving backwards. We know it's just going to be stand-up. You know, Jake is like, I love this fight with Chase Sherman because, I know he's not going to shoot on me. I know that we can just stand and trade, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So Jake was great. Chase, I got to say, very introspective, man. Very kind of open about the difficulties gone through, could really sense his frustration. I don't know. I was really interested by the vibe of Chase Sherman. He came in, and he wasn't unhappy, I don't think. I mean, he came into the media room, and he's like, hey, is there coffee here anywhere? And the PR team was like, yeah, there's, you know, we give the media this crappy coffee thing back there, but we've got a nice machine back here if you want. He's like, yeah, I'll go get some coffee. And he, you know, he was like, do you guys mind if I go get some coffee? We're like, no, go get some coffee.
He took a while. I forgot that he was back there.
So he went to go get some coffee.
And then he comes with the Starbucks. I was like, did he literally leave to go to Starbucks?
No, he went to go to the nice machine. You know, we get the jug.
He didn't go to the jug.
Heidi Dean showed me where the good coffee is. But you can't really get there from where we are, but I've had the good coffee. It's one of those nice, it's like a Starbucks machine where, like, fresh grind. Everything and yeah,
fuck
man,
them.
They got good coffee. We got that bucket coffee that's been sitting
there. I was like, at the end of the day, I went back there and got more coffee, and it was still hot. And I was just in my head, I was like, wow, this bucket's great, it's still warm. And now I hear that there's a Starbucks machine.
You got to hit up HD, she knows where the good coffee's at.
I'm sure you can't go back, and we can't go through the double doors.
I know, we're not allowed to go over there, but you know, if you're on the if you're on the floor during the Apex events, you can kind of sneak back there a little
bit.
Yeah, nobody
else
says
that.
Yeah, but if you're at the, yeah, that's where the good coffee is. So he went and got the good coffee, but then he came back and he sat down and he talked about it. And listen, he said straight up, you know, this is the last fight of his contract. And he said, it was just intriguing because on the one hand, he said, you know, listen, I really feel like I'm in a good place. I really feel like I'm growing. I really feel like I'm making progress. But then in the next breath, he's like, but my life can go one of two ways here. You know, he's like, I win, and, you know, obviously, you know, they're probably going to get a new deal. Everything's good. You know, if I lose, he kind of figured, you know, somebody asked him, is your job on the line? He's like, yeah, my job is absolutely on the line, and my life could go in an entirely different direction with a loss here. So, I don't know. It was one of those ones where I just – every now and then you kind of feel bad for somebody. You're like, man, is he okay? Is he in a decent spot? And it didn't feel to me like – but then he got up and he was like, did I do okay? Like, he was talking to his coach. He was like, did I do okay? So
– He was totally – his the perception of his energy level was very, very down. And even people remarked on the stream as well. I just happened to look at the stream and people were like – wow, he looks like totally down or looks out of it, you know. And,
well, I guess that's why I mentioned it, because I guess if you only watch, like, if you go watch our videos, obviously all of our videos are on MMA Junkie, they're on our YouTube channel. If you watch the video, I think you're probably going to have the same impression we do. They're like, that dude's going. Now, by the way, I picked Jake Collier, so I mean, I've already picked against him. But if you were like, oh, I feel really good about my Sherman pick here, and then you see that and go, whoa, this dude's head's out of it, I would just let you know he was not like that on the way in. He was not like that on the way out.
Yeah,
but as he sat there, it did feel very much like, oh,
yeah,
God,
if the two interviews
done.
Were juxtaposed over each other, like, you would see one and you'd be like, wow, this guy looks energized, looks he's having a great week, he's not hurting or whatever, and you look at the other guy and you're like, does he even want to be there? But you're right, going in there he was absolutely fine, he had better energy, and then he had better energy when he left. And you know, it's kind of funny because even Jake said he was kind of nervous, you know, going into it, you know, so maybe he had a little bit of that nervous energy. But Chase has done a million of those interviews as well, you know, like, he's a pro. So it's just weird how some people, you know, immediately, almost like once the recording starts, their personality changes a little bit, either for the good or the worse. But Yeah, I mean, Chase always brings it. I'm never ever worried about Chase going into a fight flat. He might start slow or maybe whatever, but he's the kind of guy too. He takes a shot and then he wakes up and he snaps out of it. It's funny, I was thinking about Jake. Wasn't Jake one of the ones that we said he's one of the only fighters that has fought in the three divisions of the UFC? And I had looked again, and obviously Jake's a big boy, but this fight's a heavyweight fight. But, I mean, I know he's fought light heavy and he's fought middleweight, if I'm correct. That's crazy. That is crazy. And sometimes he goes between like that and the light heavy. I think when the last time he fought was a light heavy or something.
He's had three in a row now at heavyweight. I think this is his fourth in a row. So, I mean, I think he's firmly entrenched in that heavyweight
division.
That's tough.
I mean, but he's a big boy, man.
Yeah.
And but I love his personality. I love his energy. But Chase is always one to bring it as well. I think I picked Chase the last one, and I was a little surprised because he came out sort of flat, and he didn't give me what I thought we're used to having some personal problems, right?
Like, yeah. He kind of alluded to –
I can see where somebody might look at the interview today and be like, oh, I bet he's still going through some stuff, you know? And maybe it is. I mean, how can you not still go into your last fight and not have that do something to you? Mm-hmm. You know, some people, I'm sure they want to get amped up and go in there and throw hands and go crazy. But you think that would carry over to today. You think you would see that sense of urgency. You think you would see some sort of like, I really got to go. And I mean, he said the words, but it was just hard sort of buying into it. But after watching enough Chase Sherman over the years, I know he's going to give it. I know he's going to deliver it. But it's hard to separate from what you saw today from what you're going to see. I trust in the fact that he's going to show up, but you see that today and you're just like, wow, one guy looked like he's ready for a fight. The other guy looked like his head's not even in it,
you know?
So I don't put too much in today. Again, you know, the energy and what comes out on weigh-in day is going to be completely different as well. That's a better judgment when I look to see how somebody's actually looking and what I think about the fight. And that's usually the day that sometimes we'll switch our picks because we're just like, holy cow, you know, both of them look big, but now I see them across from each other and you're like, one guy's ginormous or one guy looks into it, the other guy looks actually a little out of it or a little scared, you know. That's when we really get to look at things. So I don't put too much into media days, but typically, you know, media days are easy. You know, you want them to come in there and sort of say the right things and give you that look like, hey, they're having fun. They're glad to be there. And when you just go off face value today, maybe people probably didn't think that he looked like he even wanted to be there. But I think he does want to be there. And I mean, he loves fighting for the UFC. He loves doing stuff. So, but he's going to bring it. I mean, I've never been worried about Chase Sherman bringing it when it comes down to it.
The fact that, yes, this lineup got shuffled a lot today, but the fact that, at least as of right now, as we're sitting down recording this, that is the co-main event.
Yeah.
I think that goes because the matchmakers are building the card. You know, they want to kind of build some momentum. I think that goes to show you what the matchmakers are expecting from that fight as well, right? If
and
they're willing
big boys.
To get at that.
I think they're like big boys,
of course,
too. You know, like that always, you know, big boys are always going to be, you know, if you're going to get a maybe they're somebody reminded them about the stat with Chukagi, and they're like, oh, we want another decision in the co-main? How about we put the big boys and hope for a knockout?
That's fair, which, by the way, if you didn't see the stat of Kaelin Chukagian's first 9 UFC wins have all come via decision. So, yeah, that's the stat that you're referring to. So, if she wins, it's probably going 15 minutes. So, that's your new co-main event. I did go with Jay Collier, so we'll see how that one plays out. Big moment for Chase Sherman, though, for sure, and he laid it out there. Rogerio Bontorin versus Brandon Royval. Man, honestly,
a lot of fun.
That is the fight that I'm probably most circled on the main card as far as – I mean, outside of Kader Chikadze, obviously, that's going to be a great fight in the main event. But Bontorin Royval, I think that's going to be a fantastic fight. And – you know, Royval came in with a lot of energy. Admitted, you know, he's had 2 losses in a row now. Now, one, you know, was an injury. The second he admits, I probably rushed back from injury a little too fast, I should say, and came back, a little too early on that. And you know, wanted to be clear, I'm not trying to make excuses. You know, he said, you know, Pantoja beating me, legit, I made a mistake. I made a tactical error. He's like, but I don't think I was 100%, and I realized that was probably irresponsible of me. He did say that, you know, losing by submission stung him more than anything because it really, really burns him. But he says, look, I'm 100% now. And he's got an interesting piece, right? Because I asked him, I said, hey, you know, has there been any conversation with you in your camp about maybe trying to be a little bit less frantic, you know, maybe trying to be a little bit more paced, you know, I don't want to say moderately paced, but just a little bit more under control. And he said, yeah, to be honest with you, that's all we've talked about. But it's such a weird thing, you know, like that is kind of who he is as a fighter. And I think in some ways it's his strengths. I don't think you want to go away from it too much. But at the same time, you know, I do think that he puts himself in some bad situations, and Rogério Bonterrin can certainly capitalize on that if he does that. So he said, look, I've got to fight a little bit more under control, and we'll see what he does. On the one hand, I want him to do that because I do think he's an elite-level talent, and I think him doing that would be beneficial. On the other hand, that is who he is, you know, and I think sometimes if you get away from who you are and try to adapt a different game plan and try to adapt a different mindset, you end up being not as successful because – those were the things that made you who you are. So I think he's in a really kind of unique and maybe even a challenging place in this fight.
Yeah, man, I'm really, really looking for that fight. And funny enough, I was getting you to talk about your picks. That, according, I think everything else on the main card, we have the same one. That's
right.
That's the fight that we chose opposite.
So you took Bonterrin?
I went Bonterrin on that one.
I can't blame you on that one, man. Obviously, I think he's a guy that's probably flown under a lot of people's radars.
I just wish I saw him today. Wait, we did see him. It's the other one that we didn't see.
I was like, what? I think he was second, bro.
He was second.
That was during that period where we were just kind
of that was in the first 4 hours we were there.
That's funny. Yeah, to me, I got that one circled. I think that should be a fantastic
that
fight.
That should be fun.
Caitlin Chookagian versus Jennifer Maia as well. You know, a big one there, rematch. It's tough because
it could be a stinker.
I could
see why they. Now, I understood why they had it on the co-main. Once I saw
that,
I was like, "Fuck yeah, that should be good." Then I was like, "Wow, that could really be a not great."
That's what I'm worried about. That's what it's funny because all right, so they're two highly ranked opponents, right? So I mean, it's a relevant fight in the division.
Totally.
Now, I've said this all along, and I still feel this way. I it's just really hard for me to get excited about contender matchups at 125 pounds in any stretch, just because I know that they're going to face Valentina Shevchenko. But you know, these are two highly ranked opponents. But as you said, the way their styles come together, it's probably not going to be the most exciting fight that we've ever had. And on top of that, it's a rematch of a fight that didn't happen all that long. I mean, it was 2 years, but it's just like it's not like it was one of those ones. You're like, dude, I got to see that one again. It's
right.
It's a weird one. But you know, I respect.
And they're very evenly matched as well. I mean, like if it's one of those ones where they really are countering each other, it could be. I guess that's what the perception of somebody might be like. Oh, maybe it's not so exciting because if they're so evenly balanced.
Right.
Sometimes when you're seeing a lot of great action, you're just like, oh my god, that was a great fight. But in this one, they literally cancel themselves out a little bit. So it could be one of those ones where you're just like, oh.
But you know what? I respect. You know, Caitlin was in there today, and I respect what she said, which is, you know, because I asked her, I'm like, hey, you know, a rematch of a fight that you've already won, like you've been at the top of this division. It's the same damn. Feels like it's the same damn names up there at the top of the division that just kind of move around a little bit.
Yeah.
And I respect what she said. It's like, look, I'm good with it. Like, I'm good. But she said, I'll fight these lower ranked people. And you know, it's funny because you could hear it
I
one
don't need
way
that
or
high rank. Just give me that money. Where have we heard that before?
Well, it did. It had a little Sean O'Malley-esque in it. It had a little
that?
Sean O'Malley. But you know, I like what she's saying, too. And I know that Caitlin gets hated on a lot. And so I think depending on how you take her quotes, you can give a lot of different context to them. And you may just be like, oh, she's looking for the easiest fight that she can. I don't think that's the truth. I mean, she's just like, hey, give me these fresh faces. She's like, I see these new fighters coming to the division, and I get excited. Like, I'm like, that girl looks good. Let's go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's fight. So I like this. She's saying, look, I'll fight anybody. Like, I will really fight anybody. And it did have that Sean O'Malley-esque in it where it's like, hey, the lower rank, the better. I'm cashing paychecks. And hey, that's true. I'll be honest. Hey, look, if I was in the game, that would definitely be my approach. Like, give me the worst person available. I will definitely take that.
Somebody fresh off an injury, you
I'll
know, first fight back. Yeah, okay. Somebody that
maybe
just
rush
got back
a
from COVID.
Little bit.
Yeah, somebody that, you know, had a serious surgery on something. Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll take that one.
Maybe somebody who's several losses in a row. They might have some confidence issues. I'll take them.
I'll take that one.
I'll take that. Yeah, it's not an insult to me. No.
Let's go.
All right, Vyacheslav Borshev versus Dakota Harry Bush.
Say that three times.
I don't know. So this one got promoted to the main card. This is the kind of the surprise, and they got bumped up a little bit. Of course, Vyacheslav Borshev, I mean, he is a very talented striker as well, man. I mean, how impressive was him with that knockout of Chris Duncan on Dana White's Contender Series to win his way in there. So good on him to get on here on the main card in his first outing. Originally was supposed to be a prelim and facing
Harry Bush.
Harry Bush.
Good old Harry Bush.
Good old Harry Bush. Which there was a funny moment in Brandon Royval's interview where he was asked about where he got the nickname Raw Dog. And to be honest, I didn't know that either. His nickname Raw Dog was a drunk person
fan.
And a drunk fan saying Brandon Raw Dog him or something like that. And so that ended up sticking. He's like, yeah, man, we got – and I guess he said that he used it when he was in LFA just to see if they would use it, just to see if he could get Raw Dog on TV, basically.
So I guess that means that did Izzy then steal that when he raw dog Costa?
Oh.
Is Izzy now raw dog?
He's so wrong.
Because he raw dogged him.
So he said, yeah, so Brandon, so we, you know, so he was asked about his nickname, and Brandon brings up, he's like, yeah, man, me and Harry Bush are on the same card. He was like, we definitely getting canceled.
So funny. The way it was just funny because it reminded me like what we do. We talk about stupid shit and we become 13-year-olds giggling about it. But it was just funny to watch a professional fighter up there kind of have that moment too where he was just like, hey, yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, it's like, dude, it is. Harry Bush.
So good.
So bad.
All right. Main card rounds out with Bill Algeo versus – by the way, we didn't make picks on that one. We did make picks on it, but I think I took Warshef in that one, which – that should actually get bumped up now. Poor Matt Erickson. This is the first one of the year, and he's going to have to scramble with these, with these picks.
I took Algeo on that one.
No, I'm talking about in Borshev and Bush.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we did not pick that one.
No, we did, but we have to pick the whole card.
But we've done that before when they've switched, and if it's been past his pick, he hasn't put him out
He hasn't put it out yet.
Oh, that's true.
So that one should get bumped up. Do you remember who you took?
Unless Erickson's like, no. He was already so funny. All right, so poor Matt has to do these to do the picks, and he has to put it all together. And it's kind of a pain working with the setup of the page to get everything in there. So
it's just
a bunch of
HTML coding.
Yeah,
dude.
So he likes to get it done early, you know, and then already today, you know, because even going into the end of the last year, he's like, guys, can we be better next year? Can we be better? And already this year, I think Danny was the one. Who was late? He was like, off to a great start. And I was like, oh, snap. Right from the get go. So, yeah, I'm sure he's just human.
If you ever see our MMA Junkie staff picks grid, if you had access to the back end to see how it's put together, like, there has to be a better way to do it. So, you know what? If anybody's like a graphic designer or something, just has. It seems like it should be something easy. Dude, it is the most complicated coding process ever. And so, yeah, I think it's just the bane of Matt Erickson's.
I think if we did go
basically to
just an image, an embedded image, where if he puts like an image template together, where, and then all he has to do is just embed the image as opposed to that pulling from some chart that pulls other stuff or something. I don't know if the faces hyperlink out. I don't think they do.
No, I think he actually puts in like little JPEGs.
Yeah, because that's why sometimes they're shifted.
But the whole frame. Yeah, there's sort of.
That's why I wonder
size
if it's better to
up.
Build an image outside of it and just embed the image or something.
Well, if you're a graphic designer that sees our staff picks page and has an idea of how we can build it, because right now it is the most complicated HTML coding you've ever seen, along with a bunch of JPEGs, and Matt Erickson has no hair to pull out, or otherwise he would literally pull it all out.
That's why on some of the ones there's been in the past where the image has been wrong, and I'm like, I don't even want to bring it up because I know it's a pain in the butt.
Oh, where we had like the wrong fighter
in
there.
They had the wrong face in there. Yeah, yeah. Like, I forget one of the ones. It was the totally wrong. It wasn't even the same girl that was in there. I was like, that's not the right image, but I'm not seeing anything.
Oh, that's funny. All right, Bill Algeo versus Joanderson Brito. This is the one that's kind of up in the air. So as it stands right now, we've got 10 fights, but there's a little concern that maybe we go down to 9. Joanderson Brito's initial test was inconclusive.
9. Let's make this happen, universe.
So Bill Algeo, by the way, Senior Perfecto, former CFFC vet, a fun fighter. I actually picked him here as well. I might have CFFC homered a little bit for him.
Homered.
Because Joanderson Brito is a very talented fighter that looks very scary.
Yeah,
but Bill Algeo is fun. He's a fun fighter. But so we asked him kind of the unique situation that he was in. Like, hey, you're aware of everything that's going on, right? And he's like, yeah, they told me. And he's like, he didn't seem that stressed. He's basically saying, look, I don't care who I fight. I just need to know if I need to cut weight. He's like, that's the only thing. He's like, I really honestly do not care who's on the other
makes
side of the
cage. Makes a lot
cage.
Of sense. Makes
like,
a lot of sense.
Yeah, I've got this mental thing of like, can I have some water right now, you know?
But it'd be one thing if they were like, you know, if it falls through, you're going to get your show. You know, maybe that's a lot of whatever. But it's funny, he wasn't even thinking about money. He was just like, I'm just worried about this, whether I need to kill myself
for
the next 48
hours. So here's the funny
hours.
Part, too. On top of that, which was a pretty funny attitude, but totally understandable, I asked him kind of what this is like, and he was like, well, when I heard there were some positive tests, I was hoping it was somebody in Calvin Kattar's camp because I want to fight Giga Chikadze. He has been calling out Giga Chikadze since he was in the CFFC.
That's hilarious.
I don't know. I don't know where. Like, I really honestly, I should ask him the genesis of it.
Do you remember when? Like, what time frame? I'm going to pull up Giga, and I wonder what time frame, what Giga was doing at
that
point.
It was probably a year ago, but
only a year?
Yeah.
Oh, Giga was still
Giga was still doing okay.
Yeah.
But basically, it was a CFFC event, and CM Punk, you know, after he wins, you know, goes over to interview him and talks to him and is like, you know, hey, so what's next for you? You know, thinking maybe, hey, I want that CFFC title or whatever. He's like, I want to fight Giga Chikadze. That dude sucks. And, like, I should be in the UFC, and that dude's terrible. I was like, all right. So I don't know what his deal is with Giga Chikadze, but even today, unprompted, he's like, when I heard there was a positive test, I was hoping it was Calvin Kattar so I could jump in and fight Giga Chikadze.
I mean, looking at – when you go back and look at 20 – just looking at 2020, it wasn't like Giga was crushing through, like, big names. Jamal Emmers, Erwin Rivera, Omar Morales, Jamie Simmons. I mean, it's not like what was going on 2021 where, you know, he goes Cub Swanson, Edson Barboza, like, those are killer names. I would never call out a dude that goes through those guys, but maybe he thought, like, I don't know, maybe saw him, Giga back on his Gladiator Challenge days, and he's like, that guy's nothing, you know? I mean, because he didn't have the big names initially when he was coming in, but I don't know. I mean, like, there's a lot of these Cage Fury guys I've seen. They got swagger, so maybe about these guys, like, they're very, very sure of themselves coming in from there. But I thought that was funny. But, yeah, I mean, it's funny. He's like, not that I'm wishing anybody to get sick, but
they did. I remember now. It just came back to that because I couldn't remember what the genesis of it was. Algio was in L.A., like, on vacation and wanted to get some training in. And so he went to Kings. And while he was at Kings, I guess he just wanted to kind of go in and move around a little bit. Yeah. And I think he said, like, Giga, like, tried to just take his head off while they were sparring and stuff. And he's like, fuck you doing, dude? Like, we in here trying to go soft or whatever. Yeah. So I remember the genesis of it now. He's Sean Strickland them, dude. He's Sean Strickland them. And so Bill doesn't like that. And by the way, so we started to ask Giga about Algio. I'm like, hey, you guys are on the same card? Have you crossed paths? And Giga, who, by the way, is one of the nicest dudes you'll ever meet and is always super nice to me, is just like, fuck that guy.
Yeah,
like, I don't even want to talk about it. I was like, all right, we shall move on then. So that's your main card. We'll see if that fight happens. Hopefully it does.
It was funny a little bit today when he was like, I don't want to talk about, you know, so and whatever. You know, I just want to talk about me and now and my future. And then every once in a while, somebody else would put it in there again.
Come
and
on.
He'd talk a little bit more.
But come on.
You know, talk about that title. Talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, it should be an entertaining card. We'll see how it goes. Again, I'm just, like I said, I hate to be the negative guy. I'm worried, man, that more tests are going to come back.
I would call that you being the positive guy and positively us because having
they're
a shorter
test,
night.
Because they're going to test positive? No.
Let's start the year off with an easy night.
By the way, on the prelims, the one that you know I have circled now, Ramiz Brahimaj against Court McGee, I think that could be an absolute banger. I did have Said Yakub Kakaramanov against Brian Kelleher, but Said Yakub is out, another CFFC vet.
I was stoked about that.
I thought that was going to be an absolute banger on the prelims.
Fucking great fight.
Kevin Kroom stepping in on incredibly short notice again. So Kevin Kroom has cashed some bonus checks before. We'll see if he can get it done this time around. Charles Rosa, another guy that stepped in on incredibly short notice, right? How about that? Jumped on a plane from Boston last night, just like, come on, let's go. So, you know, they kept this thing together. It's 10 fights. We'll see. Hopefully it stays at 10 fights. You know, I was kind of thinking about this earlier. You know, a lot of stuff is made about the $74.99 price of the UFC pay-per-views. And we've had a lot of discussion about that. It does suck. You know, we had a debate on Spinning Backlick about whether or not it's a good thing for the sport or if it's a bad thing for the sport. And my position is basically like, well, it's not a good thing. You can't say it's a good thing because there's nobody that's going to go like, oh, yeah. I didn't used to tune in at $69.99, but I'm definitely going to tune in now at $74.99. Yeah. So you can't say it's a good thing.
It's not like the money's being earmarked for anything particular. It's not like they're saying we're raising $5 for fighters, or we're even saying $5 to go to some school charity that's going to advance the young fighters in the you know, growing up.
I mean, can't remember who brought up that point that had they said that this is going directly into fighter pay, that could have been a huge PR move and nobody would have said a word. But, of course, and again, as we pointed out on Spinning Backlick, and I'll point again here, it is an ESPN decision. It's not a UFC decision. So you got to understand that. But
because unless things have changed, from what I was always under the impression was when they came on and they made the deal – ESPN took the pay-per-views under their wing, and they said, okay, UFC, we understand that you usually do this much, and we know that you usually get this amount of bunch of money.
Yeah.
We are going to give you 100 and whatever something million it was at the time for each year, and we're going to take over the pay-per-views.
Correct.
And so the UFC gets that guaranteed money.
Correct.
So
I believe
this is
there
a decision.
This is them trying to recoup their money.
This is them trying to do their thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure the UFC still has some sort of sway in the fact of, you know, I'm sure they make a business decision because they're not going to let the ESPN price point it to a point where nobody actually tunes in, because that does them no favor either. So I'm sure there is some sort of leeway, but honestly, it's an ESPN decision on an ESPN platform.
Right.
When it boils down to it, of course they're not going to shoot themselves in the foot and outprice it too much, but I don't know what Dana and the UFC really can do to stop it.
I don't think
at
they can do
point.
Anything to
I
stop
don't think
it.
They can do anything.
Well, here's my point was, I don't think it's necessarily bad, because the question was, will this hurt fan interest? I don't think it will. And I'm, a couple of reasons. I'm going to say, number one, if MMA is your thing and UFC is your thing, it's your thing. You're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Or you're going to obtain it however you're going to obtain it. But it's your thing and you're going to do it, right?
Just skip a Jake Paul fight every once in a while. Save those.
And that saves
save
your
those
difference
dollars,
right there.
And here's your $5.
That saves your difference. So I think people are still going to buy. And listen, man, dude, inflation right now, like everything is more expensive. Everything is raising prices. So it's unfortunate, but I just don't see people take it. Maybe there'll be some. But I don't see people not getting into the sport and being like, it's just too expensive. I can't do it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. But I just see if it's your thing, it's your thing. But the one thing –
especially if you're only going to buy like one pay-per-view. I mean, granted, it's the hardcore ones that maybe budget out, because it is. Because I can hear Dana. We all hear Dana's voice in our heads like, it's just $5 more. But you're right. The difference of $5 to $10 is easy when you start thinking like that. But when you think, I'm like, okay, I was already paying almost $70.
Yeah.
Now you're asking me to pay like $80.
Who cares?
Then you're just like, okay, you know, it's tough. I mean, is it the biggest jump? No. But when you start seeing that number, it's hard to not have initial shock value
when
you see the number. Because it was already big before.
And by the way, should qualify this by saying, in fairness, we don't pay for pay-per-views. You know, we get reimbursed by our employer.
If we're not there, we're there anyway.
Well, we're there most of them anyway. But I'm saying if we have to buy it.
Right.
So, I guess sometimes I feel, I don't want to say unqualified to speak on this, but I feel like it's almost unfair because I don't actually have to pay that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do, and then I get paid back.
Well, so I was going to say that even then, I'm like, I know I'm going to get reimbursed, but it fucking sucks to see that money debit
out.
To go out
75.
Yeah, I'm just like, ugh.
I just feel like if it's your thing, I don't think it's going to hurt fan interest, but I could be wrong. But you know, so I'm torn on this. So the point I wanted to make the other day that I forgot to make and I didn't make is, I will say this. Here's the other thing about the price. Yes, it definitely sucks. The good thing is, right now, since everything is under ESPN, those pay-per-views are pretty damn stacked. You know what I mean? They've been loading those pay-per-views before. If you think back to like the Fox era, because think about this.
I mean, there was a point where for a while we were getting two or three title fights every pay-per-view.
Well, and I think I know that we just, you know, have the
like,
Masvidal Covington one coming up. You know,
yeah.
That's good. But I do think the lineups have been pretty good. I think they're trying to do that. Here's what I'm saying is that I'm not saying it justifies it, but you know, if you think about during the Fox era, they had to be very careful, right? Because Fox would be like, hey, bro, you just loaded up that pay-per-view with all these fights. We're network television. We write you a pretty big check. We want big fights too. And the good thing is, now that all the checks are coming from ESPN, they can load those pay-per-views up because ESPN's trying to make that revenue, right? So they don't have an issue. So they get the whole pie. So I do think that they're going to, you know, continue to try to load these pay-per-views up as much as possible. I don't think it's a – but here's the other thing I go back to. You remember back in the days – When the UFC was kind of building up and really, you know, kind of coming into the mainstream, and Dana used to talk about what boxing did wrong, and he was like, boxing, man, they put everything on pay-per-view. They put everything on pay-per-view, and that hurt the sport because you couldn't watch the big fights because they were all on pay-per-view. And now, of course, pay-per-view's been part of their model forever, but now it's a $75 pay-per-view, and now maybe even if you are stacking the pay-per-views, you're putting all the big fights on pay-per-view only. I mean, I'm sure he would sit here and argue back, but hey, we're still doing ESPN. We're still doing ESPN Plus. And he'd be right. They're only doing 12 pay-per-views a year. They're doing 30 non-pay-per-views. But I don't know. It is interesting. Like, on the one hand, the $5 price increase doesn't bother me as much as I think it bothers a lot of people, or at least I got sticker shock too. It does sound like a big number. I mean, $75 does still sound like a big number. But I don't think it's necessarily detrimental to the sport. But I don't know, man. I weigh in all those things about, you know, I feel like we've been down this road before, so I am kind of interested to see how this all plays out. You know, will there be any fan backlash? I don't think there will be. I think people are just – I mean, gas goes up, I don't stop driving. You know what I mean? I guess
I certainly bitch about it. I went and made a trip down to Cali.
Everybody's gonna bitch, but they're still gonna pay.
It was the last weekend before we had to start doing fights again. So I decided, well, I got the day off. I was like, I'm gonna just drive down to Cali. Let me just get out. Went and bought some lotto tickets. And on the turnaround, I was like, let me just get gas.
Yep.
I didn't even think about it. It was over $5 a gallon.
Oh. In
California. I was like, oh my God!
I'm so glad I don't live
here. I was like, I should have like.
Well, they charge you like crazy out on this on I-15 because they know
it was even jumped, but I was like, I saw that and I was like, I could never live here. Or something.
Well, I can relate to my own life. So normally on a rather frequent basis, I will go to the local gas station and pick up a couple of frosty beverages. and the amount of frosty beverages.
Couple 30 packs?
I wouldn't go that. Maybe, the amount of beverages that I get on this rather routine basis used to cost me $11. Now it costs me $14. And this price change just happened recently.
Fuckers.
I still buy it.
You know what I mean? Yeah, right.
I mean,
you're right, but I mean, man, the sticker price does look something, and you're right. You know, you think that it's not, you know, most people will just suck it up and do it, but man, when you look at this card, just looking at 270, I don't want to pick on 270. The main card is good. The main card, there's even some I'm like, wow, okay, this could be really good, but man, when you start going down the line, no offense to the prelims and the early prelims. When you think you're paying more than you've ever paid before, but when you look at the prelims and early prelims, while there are some decent fights through it, do I feel like top to bottom, it's like the card that I would tell folks, hey, this is the card that you're going to pay more than you've ever paid before. This shouldn't be that card. You know, like, it's tough because you're right. For a while there, they've pushed some of these cards. You're just like, oh, my goodness, this card is the sickest pay-per-view I've seen ever or in quite some time. Mm-hmm. This is not that card, you know, and to think that you're actually raising it. And maybe
you think dynamic pricing would be better where certain cards cost more and other cards don't? Or do you think that's bad?
Then I think people would just be like, I personally think this card was worth more than that. I think it's probably better if they just blanketly raise it.
Right.
And then people just get over it. But, yeah, when you look at this card and you think, like, man, you're going to ask me to pay more than I've ever paid for a card before when I know that UFC 200 or whatever was so much better than this, you know, and I paid, you know, $15 less or whatever. I think people get over it. It's just – I think when you said the inflation thing, I think once you said that and I started wrapping my head around it, I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Then I immediately start thinking, like, you know, you can't fight inflation. You can't – all you can do is sort of just grin and bear it,
and
you know.
And sports rights fees right now. I mean, everybody's talking about the next deal that the UFC gets is going to be
but
massive.
But this is the same deal.
This is I know, but I'm saying, like, I think ESPN –
Maybe the cost to put on the events is costing more, them. So then –
Well, I don't – I think ESPN is probably using this as, like, hey, man – UFC's hot. Let's take in the. I'm not saying they're bringing in the revenue to keep it all in the UFC. I think they're probably looking at other things. I mean, dude, the news that you see out there right now, like Amazon is starting to bid for sports rights. Apple is going to start bidding for sports rights. Dude, do you know how much that could change? Amazon and Apple.
Both of them have streaming platforms that they need to have content
for. Exactly.
So it's not like it's just anybody going.
But think about the cash reserves that they have, dude. Yeah. Like, they have so much money that I'm kind of interested by that. Like, Amazon and Apple getting into it. Now, from the UFC, if I've got Amazon, Apple, and ESPN bidding for my services, holy shit, I'm feeling good about that. But will Amazon or Apple take – because I will say, man, I think ESPN's done a good job of presenting the sport, man. I think they've
– And their platform's good. Their platform's solid. I mean, they have so much content on there, and the platform works. The stream works for the most part. I mean, I've had very, very few ever hiccups to where I'm watching. It has happened where something's acted up on the player, something maybe didn't work in my Roku, and I pull up something else. But for the most part, the platform works. I saw something the other day. I think it was a stock guy talking about, you know, he was talking about Netflix and whatever. And I thought it was interesting. He raised the point, have we got to the point where all these streaming platforms have pushed the bandwidth to the most where people are like, there's just too much to be able to consume. So you have to then at that point find, what can I find to differentiate? I mean, I have personally subscribe. Like, I have Amazon Prime.
Right.
I have the Netflix. I have the Showtime. Yep. I have the Hulu. I have the, you know, there's a couple other ones that I have on there. And it's just like, I don't even get to all of it. And at some point, you're just like, when is the point where we're just like, do we have too much now?
Well, see, that's what I kind of wonder if UFC, because, man, if Amazon and Apple write those checks, you got to go where the checks are being written, right?
Yeah.
But would they be almost like, I don't want to say a nameless face aside, but at that point, do they literally just be, I mean, look, to me, we've talked about this before. If you listen to the show for a long time, the UFC is not a fight company anymore. It is a global media company.
It's a media
Their
company,
job is
right.
to create content, right?
Yep. Their but, fight library is literally a diamond field that they're just sitting on.
So what if it goes to Amazon or Apple? And, like, does Amazon, at least with ESPN, yeah. at least ESPN is a sports product. So, yes, yeah. they're also a global media company. They are also just looking at content. But at least it's the place for sports,
yeah.
right? So, like, you're still elevating this as a sport. Whereas I wonder if it goes to an Apple or an Amazon, does it literally, like, do they care anymore? Like, are they like, yeah, we created this program. We could, because they don't really know how to present sports.
Right.
So at that point, does it just become, like, just a thing under our umbrella of
right,
things?
Just another option. I mean, it's tough because Disney, I mean, the big thing about Disney Plus, a lot of people have always said is that while their library, while their amount of content is currently growing, it's still the least of
all
the
streaming
platforms. Disney Plus is, I mean, I love the options that they have, but for the longest point, I was like, this is it. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're constantly getting more. So by proxy of them being under ESPN, Disney still has a hold of this stuff that ESPN's going. I think they would probably fight tooth and nail to try to keep that still underneath the ESPN banner and not let somebody else scoop it, unless the money is just absolutely crazy for them. I mean, because ESPN has to be one of the biggest expenditures for the Disney
absolutely
profile.
Absolutely.
Like, without a doubt. I mean,
yeah.
the amount of money that they're throwing around, but also they're also creating the most content out of anything. I mean, like, you're starting to have Disney parks now even question whether they need to close again, and they just got over the hump of just opening back up. So half of what Disney is getting their money is part of these, like, the streaming platform. So I think even though while Apple and Amazon constantly are always looking for some other product to take it out from underneath ESPN, which I think people look for how they're able to deliver and give it, I think it would fall flat.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause there would be nothing, there's no way to really deliver it. You go to Amazon Video to watch stuff, it's just a regular page. Like, there, and you're just going through, and I'm looking, and half the time I'm like, okay, I don't see anything new, I'm not going to look at it.
Right.
The same thing when I go to the Apple Plus area, I'm just like, it's just, I look at the offerings, I'm like, okay, do I see anything? No. And then I'm gone.
Yeah.
You know, at least with ESPN being able to do it, I think the only way for the sport to keep growing is you need to have the people that are pushing it, and the way that the ESPN platform with
that's
the people
what I'm saying. If it just
selling it,
that's what I'm saying. Like, would it disappear if it goes? That's
I think it would.
That's what I'm scared about a little bit. You know, obviously, I've watched firsthand how this thing has gone
yeah.
from zero to, you know, where it is now, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
But I mean, sports rights are getting crazy. I mean, you see this deal right now. DAZN is going to buy BT Sport, and the only reason, essentially, the reason they're buying it is because
how has DAZN still got money?
Oh, bro, they're Russian billionaires. Dude, they got money.
Jeez.
But DAZN, they want to buy BT Sport literally just so, because BT Sport has rights access to the Premier League, rights access to the Champions League.
And they got people.
So rather than going to bid on all that and building out
an
infrastructure.
I go to the DAZN channel and I'm just like, this app sucks.
I know.
It's garbage.
Them acquiring BT Sport would help them out a lot.
It would be huge.
So, but that just goes to show you, this stuff is so expensive.
Yeah.
I'm better off just buying the platform that already has it. Like, you know what? I could bid against them.
Huge
or
platform.
I could just buy them.
It's not like they're buying a small thing. Like, BT Sport is huge. Like, for
crazy,
them to just
man.
Say, like, okay. But, I mean, I guess, if you want to get a head start, you know, rather than try to build and try to find people to build your own platform, I guess if you have the money and you could buy something like that, you immediately skip the line
yep.
and you're getting yourself a finished product. But, wow, that is just crazy. Because, I mean, I look at DAZN and I'm just like, every year there's a point where I'm like, why do I keep this subscription? Why do I do? Because I look at, like, the offerings or, like, sort of lackluster. And yeah. I mean, if boxing's all you got, I mean, it's not like maybe if I was a bigger boxing person,
I'll catch a fight here or there,
I'm like, okay, I'm interested in it.
Right.
For the most part,
let's be honest, a lot of boxing overlaps what we're doing already. You know what I mean? It's happening while we're working, so we can't watch it.
Right.
If like boxing owned Tuesday nights, we'd probably watch every boxing night. You know what I mean? But they don't. So it's interesting. I just think it's such an interesting time. I think it's gonna be over the next few years. And I totally understand. And obviously, the UFC, they got a lot of smart people working there, man. So I think they probably see the same things. But like I said, you know, Amazon or Apple comes and they start talking about the type of money that they can throw out. It may be awfully enticing, but it just makes me wonder, would you kind of disappear? Because now you're not like, you know, you're not like a tenant of this thing. You know, you're not like a big, huge part of it, a massive, you know, you're just another thing on the thing. So I'm just kind of intrigued to see how it plays out.
Are we still in that first contract with the ESPN?
They re-upped at one point. They renegotiated and re-upped. But I should know the extension of it. But they re-upped during the whole pandemic situation.
Okay,
because they were delivering so strong for ESPN that they redid their deal.
So they upped the yearly value and then mm-hmm. they.
But I don't know if they extended. I don't know if they extended the time or not. But well, I know they upped
point,
the value.
We got to be getting near the end of the thing. There only could be a couple years left.
A couple years left.
You know, because it was what initially a 5 or 7 year deal.
I'll be honest. I'm kind of embarrassed that I don't know. I should know that. I guess it's because I don't worry about rights fees so much. I don't normally get into these type of discussions. Like, I consider myself more following the sport rather than the business of the sport.
Yeah.
But I should know that, and I'll make sure and get that information.
Well,
and if anybody wants to tell me that knows, just tell me and just say, and you can even message me and tell me I'm a dumbass and it's okay.
Well, I mean, there's just so much. I mean, we can barely keep track of the mystery media days, let alone, you know, the inner workings of major corporations and their deals. But I mean, it is one of those things that, you know, whether the price raise, whether it's going to be good for MMA or not, I think it is probably one of those necessary evils. If it keeps ESPN in the game, and if this is something where it helps them meet their bottom line and they're able to renegotiate deals and keep the UFC afloat, I guess it's good because it keeps it going. Because honestly, we've said this over and over again, as much as we love Bellator, PFL, Invicta, all these other ones, if the major flagship like a UFC wasn't able to stay monetary viable and wasn't able to pay the people, and, you know, of course we'd like to see fighters make more pay, whatever. But I also want to see the UFC to keep working, because honestly, if the UFC, if something happened with their business model, something happened and they went under, there's no way we could manage to keep an MMA website strictly about covering some of these other events.
It's true.
There's just too far and too few, and there's too much. Maybe everybody would shift. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe everybody all of a sudden become the biggest Bellator fans in the world, and everybody would just be clamoring for the next Invicta fight. But I think we all understand that if the UFC wasn't there, we'd be pretty hard pressed for the MMA world to stay.
They are the industry
how
leader.
It is right now.
Love them
know?
Or hate them, they are the industry leader.
So if this price helps keeps the boat, you know, afloat, you know, and it keeps this thing going, I guess it's good. But you know, it's not. I mean, it certainly doesn't help the consumer when the cost of everything in this world is it justified? Of course. But does it suck? Of course it does, because everything fucking sucks. My rent fucking sucks. Paying gas sucks. The cost of...
How about that you just found out the house next door to you has $400 more rent than you that went up like a month later?
It sold, and then a month later, I watched these people, like, immediately a huge dumpster showed up outside in their driveway. They demoed it, and within, like, maybe a week, 2 weeks of work on it, they slapped it. Before they finished it, there was a rent sign for rent sign out
while they
front.
Were still working.
While they were still finishing it, the company that bought it paid $200,000 more than what the last time it sold.
Whoa.
It was sold for $200,000 something. Now they sold for $400,000. And then they immediately bought it, probably did some quick little whatever work on the inside, swapped out the floors, you know, did whatever, and then raised the rent over $2,000.
Well, they were paying the rights fees, and they got to raise the pay-per-view price.
That's it. Oh, my God.
That's the way it works, man.
The cost of things. So, yeah, I mean, in the grand scale of things, I mean, we can't argue against, like, what's going on everywhere. Everything's crazy. I saw something the other day on the news, and I was like, how are people not uproar? There was a drug company that's – and we, I think we all understand the price of drugs and the way that these companies work. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Especially in the United States.
There's a drug company. It's the only drug company that's produced a drug that will help fight dwarfism.
Okay.
When the kids take it young enough, it helps to show that it extends the bones. They can actually get taller
growth.
That's
amazing.
They were talking about it costs – or it was saying the revenue per person for a year would be $250,000.
Oh, come on.
How fucking – I was so pissed. Because I was watching a stock show, and this was the CEO of the company talking about, you know, how the money was going to go or whatever. So I looked it up online, and I thought that they were first were trying to say
we have a miracle drug against a very difficult position.
Yeah, I thought it was trying to say it would cost $250,000 for the person to use it. And I'm like, that's fucking sickening. But if you're then I read it, and I was like, if this is correct, and it's telling me $250,000 revenue. That means it's going to cost them even more, but that's the money they're taking. And I was so sick to my stomach. And I think they were saying, like, oh, well, there's a special deal worked out with the insurance companies.
I bet there is.
You know, so I was like, okay, so people are going to pay their fees and whatever. And maybe the people don't have to pay the $250,000, but you're making that money up somewhere by overcharging somebody somewhere else. But I was just thinking, man, here's a drug that you can actually make somebody's life so much better.
Yeah.
And you're touting how you're going to make over a quarter million revenue off of them. And I was so sick to my stomach. That's the world we live in today. Man. So it's
tune into our new website, pharmaceuticaloversightjunkie.com. You're really going to
– pharmajunkie.com.
Hey, listen, I want to ask you one other thing. You mentioned skipping a Jake Paul pay-per-view earlier.
yeah. Save your pennies. Jake Paul fight.
Jake Paul throws two kicks – on Instagram, and the world blows up.
How did they look?
You didn't want. I mean, they're low kicks on a
pad.
I
see that stuff, and I'm just like,
okay, but hold on. Let me ask you. So, Scott Coker was asked about it, and he said, you know, hey, we'd be interested in talking to the guy.
Why not?
PFL was asked about it and says, you know, hey, we're actually talking to the guy, and I've got a buddy at PFL who says, hey, man, I'm feeling pretty good about this. You know, he's like, you know, now obviously he doesn't know they could be playing him like a flute, but you know, flute, fiddle. Maybe playing him like a flute.
Violin.
Whatever. Playing him like, yeah. Anyway.
I'm playing all those things. He's got the fingers on all the horns.
Hopefully he's being played more like a fiddle than a flute then, I guess. less holes on a fiddle. but he said, look, man, I think we're feeling pretty good about this. I think it might happen. Let me ask you. Because we've all kind of, like, this guy has been the guy that we've been kind of cheering against, right? Like, I mean, I think that's safe to say, right? Don't you think a lot of us have been
I think maybe I cheered against him in the Askren fight.
Well, he's been beating our guys.
Well, yeah, but even then, I'm like, whatever.
But if he comes in, do we welcome him with open arms and be like, hey, you're my guy now?
So I know you're not a pro wrestling person.
No.
Okay, so say
– although I'm getting there, my man CM Punk, but
that's
I'm learning.
Well, that's funny that you say that because, all right, so when a person like CM Punk made his debut – knowing what you didn't know about wrestling, you knew that this person was a wrestling star in another organization.
Right.
You've seen Jake Paul now
fight
after fight and the build-up that he's built. Which one is coming into more fanfare to the UFC if he came into the UFC? For you personally and maybe for some other ones, who had more fanfare coming in that you were more intrigued to see making their debut in the UFC? When Phil Brooks did or if Jake Paul came in?
Jake Paul.
Of course. Isn't it crazy when you think of it like that?
CM
Punk was an absolute superstar in what he's doing, but you've seen Jake Paul now fight three times.
I don't want to see Jake Paul in the UFC, but if I'm PFL or Bellator, I'm absolutely doing business with him. And guess
what? I don't care if he comes in the UFC.
John Morgan is absolutely tuning in. Absolutely tuning in.
Of course I am. Of course I am. And I wouldn't care if it was the UFC. I wouldn't care if it was Bellator. I wouldn't care if I was – it's so stupid. I looked at the Invictus screen. I almost said, I wouldn't care if he was Invictus. No, I would totally
care. I would
care
if he was Invictus.
I would totally care. That would be absolute fucking bullshit. It gets me still to this
Jake
day.
Paul
every
is
time people
shopping Invictus.
But still, you still get everybody every once in a while. You get some jackasses like, oh, man, let's just cut out all the stupid male divisions, female division. Let's just, if you're a featherweight and feather, let's have them fight.
Oh,
I'm like,
come on.
You're a jackass.
Come on.
Like, I hate it when people fucking bring that up.
You can block that person.
Yeah.
Wherever you see that, on whatever platform you're on, you can block that person. If it's in person, you can literally block them with your hand. Like, you can literally just hit them in the face.
Just
and
trip
like,
them. But maybe sweep the leg, trip them. But, you know, when I thought of that, you know, when I was thinking about, man, if Jake brought what the hype over, I have no beef against Jake.
No.
I love, you know, and it's funny. Somebody even commented on the chat tonight. I thought was funny because there was such a delay before the first fighter. Somebody was like, "Man, I wish this was a Jake Paul fight because Jake Paul honors like his time. Like Jake Paul shows up, I'm like,
wow.
You're right, he does." For the most part, Jake Paul's always been on time in the thing. So, I mean, like, he carries himself like a professional. He's went out there. He knocked Tyron Woods the fuck out. He knocked Ben Askren out. And who was the first person he fought? Did he fight a basketball player or something?
Yeah.
He knocked the basketball player out or whatever. So, I mean, he's doing what he can do. And, I mean, I have no problem. And if the guy does his work, I mean, I trust that if he put the same effort that he put into training himself for boxing – we already know that he's got a connection with these MMA fighters in different gyms to, like, do the work he needs to do. I have no problem. I have no problem if he came to the UFC. I didn't have a problem when Phil came in. I mean, when CM Punk came in.
Yep.
Because everybody was like, trust me, this guy's got a work ethic. And when I saw him in person and the way that Phil carried himself, I was like, dude's really a nice guy.
Well, obviously,
I was like,
Punk's a friend of mine at this point, but before I knew anything about him, I agree with you. Punk, I think, regardless of if you love or hate the guy, and I said it at the time, and I'll say it now, the guy came in with the right attitude. He always said, I don't know if I'm going to be good at this, but I get a chance to try it. And he's like, I love the sport, and
this
is my dream,
and
I want to do it. So
how can you hate on that?
You can't hate on that.
And it's the same with Jake.
I don't think Jake would come in with that attitude. Jake would come in and be like, I'm the greatest thing ever.
Well, and part of that's the swagger, and part of that's the sport as well. You know, I mean, part of the whole sport is talking a good game. You know, if it gets in the guy's head, you know, if it gets somebody to come in thinking like, oh, this guy is so sure of himself, I'm going to knock him out. And then he's already getting under your skin or something. Maybe it's part of the game. I mean,
it's part of the fun, right?
But I mean, even I think with the boxing, as much as Jake has kind of every once in a while will say, you know, little things, I've never heard anything where I'm just like, I hate what this guy's saying. Cause everything just comes off like making it a show. He hasn't said anything. Like, I love Colby, but Colby's triggered me a hell of a lot worse than anything that Jake Paul's ever said.
Right.
So if Jake came in and had swagger, that's fine. Like, you kind of expect it. Just like any fighter's ever said, they're like, dude, to do what we have to do, you have to believe in yourself at that point. And you have to sort of sell it. You know, you have to – and if it comes in and he's saying a good thing – we'll know right away. He's either going to eat it or he's going to look like a fool.
And that's the thing. Let me preface this for anybody that's listening and goes, what are you guys doing, dude? You're like, I do not believe he'll be successful, especially if he fought at the UFC level. I do not believe that he would be successful. Now, can they create some matchups? But that's the thing. I think with PFL, with Bellator, they can get a little bit creative with their matchmaking. They can have a little bit more. I think he could win some fights there. You know what I mean? I just don't see a lot of – like, they can – PFL and Bellator has the ability to bring people off the streets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and nobody bats an eye.
Contender guys are like – they've had fights.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't even pair them up against a contender fight because most contender guys are 5 or 6 wins.
And I'm not trying to insult anybody on the PFL or Bellator roster. I'm not saying like, oh, Jake could beat those guys. No, there's great fighters. What I'm saying is PFL and Bellator – has the luxury of being like, hey, we can just bring in a guy that's 0-0 and be like, ah, whatever. The UFC camp, I know they did it for CM Punk. I don't think they would do it again. I think that was a one-time situation. I don't think they can bring in Jake Paul and then be like, I don't know, we'll just sign some dude off the streets and find him. And by the way, the guy they brought in off the streets turned out to be pretty good. So, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, he was.
Well, but I
or
think
is.
PFL and Bellator can get away. We've seen it, right? Like, they can beat like,
they're just better at it. I mean, they do it every event. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're bringing guys off the street. They're bringing the local guys in. I think they have that connection. It's better set up.
If Jake fought like the ranked guys in Bellator, he would lose. If Jake fought the tournament finalists in PFL, he would lose. So I'm just saying. But I'm be honest with you, I'm not opposed to him doing it, man. And honestly, I do. It's a circus.
Look at
but
Clarissa
that's what
Shields
this is.
When they brought Clarissa Shields in.
Yep.
Her first couple people that she fought, like I was like, why is she not losing?
Yep.
Why is she not losing? I mean, I think they can get creative enough to find somebody that has a possibility to beat him, but also make it fun. And of course, who wouldn't watch it?
But that's the thing is, I think there's going to be a lot of fans that are just like, F that guy. Like, I don't like that guy. I don't want him in my sport.
But they're going to tune in to watch him get his ass.
I think that's it. I think that's
it.
I think you just got
to
realize
it.
It's a sideshow. It's a circus, but it gets people talking. It gets people interested. Yeah.
And how are people that pissed off?
Right.
Honestly, if you're that angry because what he's done to some of your MMA fighters, maybe you're a little too close to the sport. I mean, if you're not Tyron or Ben Askren's brother or a close immediate family, how can you be that pissed off?
You know, I will say that's the argument that used to trip me out with CM Punk. Where people are like, that guy is taking somebody's roster spot. I'm like, No, he's not. Like,
he's really not.
Like, there's not like a finite number of roster spots that they could have. Like, he's taking the CM Punk slot.
Yeah, the one they created for him. I mean, I think a lot of people think about that sometimes, and I know we've brought this up in conversation, you know, with the Contender Series. You know, whether they are, in fact, by signing people, pushing out veterans. And we've seen veterans just magically sort of at certain points of the year kind of get let go.
Right.
Dane always just sells it off like that's just the natural progression of things. It happens every year, you know, like veterans get let go, you know. It's not a big deal, guys. But all of a sudden, you know, you're like, hey, Dana, you signed 45 people in a matter of 10 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's a lot of people,
yeah.
You know, like – I know you always say how overhead and you have to get people fights and you're trying to get everybody three fights a year, but you've just added a lot of people.
I tell you, you know, it's funny. I hadn't really thought about this, but, dude, hell, if we ever get past this COVID stuff, if it ever goes away, they're going to have to downsize their roster. I mean, right now, yeah. Like, they'll basically tell you, like, dude, we just need bodies. We got to keep people around. We got to have options.
I almost feel like people are still silently and quietly off to the side getting let go. It just – we don't see the big,
right?
You know, I mean, it still sort of happens. I mean, like we see recently, was it how long ago was it when Emily Whitmire got let go?
Yep.
And there was like a few other ones recently, and there was just like, it's not like there's a big fanfare, you know. Not everybody gets that opportunity to lay their gloves down in the middle of the octagon and do whatever, you know. But we're getting these things, and a lot of people, you're just like, that person's still at a good fighting place, you know.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Like, wow, that's weird that they're letting them go, but it still happens, you know. I mean, they're still bringing people on, but it's not like I think that when we get to the end of COVID, all of a sudden we're like, okay, guys, we're through it. By the way, we got to cut 200 of you now. You know, I would hate to see that day. I mean, but it's funny, you know, because at one point I felt like, what was it, 400 or 4 something. Like, I thought the number was like 4 or something. Maybe it was less than that. Was like, this is our roster.
Yeah.
You know, we're right around this
now
level,
like,
or whatever.
7.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous right now. And maybe it does. Maybe it does get to the point where they're just like, you know, we're able to have events without problem, without worry of something going on. Honestly, I don't think the COVID thing is going away at least any particular time, until the commissions or until something comes out.
Just says we're not testing anymore.
Or when everybody's absolutely, when we're 100% vaccinated, and they're like, we've done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right?
Well, that's, you know, I mean, we're probably
almost there.
There's got to be a countdown clock for how soon that's going to happen.
At some point, they got to just be like, well, we tried everything we can. It's not going away. It's the best it's going to be, but let's try to at least get back to normal,
yep.
You know, at some point. And whether it's just a matter of the commission's like, yes, he tested positive, but he's asymptomatic. We're going to let him fight, you know, and just get to one of those points where they're just like, every day I know that I'm going to probably bump into somebody that's positive, you know, and I'm either going to get it or not get it, depending on how my body is. But does that stop me from working, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we already see it in businesses now where businesses are asking their people to come in. We'll just keep you away from people. You know, we just need you to come in and still work, you know, at some point. And maybe as shitty as that sort of sounds, there's another part where there's like, is that what it needs to take to just move beyond it? Where they're just like, guys, there's nothing we can do about this. It's going to happen. You're either going to get sick and it's about whatever. It's a lotto ticket in the sense of what your varying
right.
level of degrees of how it's going to affect you.
People are still dying.
But let's just keep going because people are like,
I've had conversations in the last couple of weeks with two separate people who both knew somebody in their 50s that wasn't vaccinated and died.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, because I am kind of getting to the point now where it's just like, I just think we're all going to get it. We can't ever stop it. Like, maybe it's just time to get back to normal life. But people are still dying.
You know, I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, like, I don't want to become a shut-in. I mean, as much as I like staying at home.
You
like,
do, too.
I do, partially.
He's like, I want to be a shut-in by choice, not because they make me.
Not because they make me. Don't you dare put that on me. But damn it, I'll do it anyways. Yeah, I mean, at some point, you just, like, let, you know, risk be damned. I've done what I can do. Science says do this. I've done it. Now let me just go do my things. And if something happens, okay. Like when yes, it sucked to get sick, but I got sick and then I got over it, you know, and then was able to get back to it, you know. Wasn't fun, wasn't pleasant, but I'm like, if we can just get to the point, you know, at some point, the way that they're running the business, they're going to have to cut people. They're going to have to do whatever. And then with the same sense, let's just find a way to just keep moving forward, just keep getting these events or something. I mean, like the and I don't know, maybe that's going to take another year or so. I mean, at some point, it's just weird. Like now, like I was hearing about the bus drivers, there's a bus driver shortage in Vegas. At one point at the start of the year or something, there was already iffy, and say there was already like, say like 40 people out or something. Like I saw something and was saying like now there's like 70 people out, and now they're starting to have issues of finding people to get whatever, because they either are trying to stay home because they're saying all right, you're sick, you have this, go stay home. But at some point, what if one of those people are like, guys, I'm good to drive, and if the parents are like, dude, my kid's vaccinated, whatever, and the guy wants to drive, let him drive, let the kid go to school. You know, at some point, maybe we'll start shifting that way instead of now. It's like, okay, you've triggered the flag. You stay home. Fuck, now we can't do this. Okay, now trickle down. Your kid can't do this. Kid, blah, 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 blah. I don't know how we trickled into this fucking conversation, because I feel like COVID, here we are, like, I hope it goes away. But it just –
I was literally just thinking, I was like, we literally normally try not to talk about this because, like, we just want to be like a respite from away, you know what I mean? To get away from it all and enjoy, just kind of. But dude, it's affecting our sport now more than it ever has. We're 2 years into it, and dude, I feel like the next couple of weeks are going to be a nightmare.
It's crazy. We're already having it. It's
Welcome
the first
to
event.
2022.
It's so funny because you talked about how you're trying to come in positive. Morgan came in so hot to the event. I thought like I would be the one. Because when I saw you were so – you're like, what the fuck is going on? You know, like, this. And I'm thinking, like, if I came in, Morgan would be like, everybody look at Ken. You know, way to come in here with a good personality, blah, blah, blah. Way to be positive. And I'm just, like, chuckling. I'm like, it's Morgan that's doing it, not me.
I was hungover.
But it's so funny. But, yeah, I mean, to think that here we are starting the first event of the year, and it doesn't feel like we've changed anything from where we were a year ago doing the same sort of thing, you know. And if it stays like this, honestly, if it stays like this and we're still at the Apex, the Apex shows are easy for us, you know. I just know that it's like, okay, Apex, and then now we're back on the road next week, and then it's back to the Apex, and then it's gonna be blah 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 blah. I don't want to do Houston.
Texas, Florida, Arizona, Abu Dhabi. Texas, Florida, Abu Dhabi, Arizona.
Do you think I'm
going
to have to do
Texas, Arizona?
I don't know if I'm going to have to do Houston.
Come on, why wouldn't you want to go to Houston? Come to Houston. Let's go get some crawfish and some cold beer.
I would do some barbecue, though.
Barbecue?
We've never done crawfish in Texas.
I did last time I was there.
Did you?
Oh, it was so
good. I like
good.
Crawfish.
Dude, it was so good. Just go for the crawfish.
Was it just all the crawfish place?
Yeah. BB's, I think it was called. Oh, man, it was so good. I'm going back. Like, I might go there every night. I might go there every night, and
I
it's
like
not.
Crawfish.
And it's not. It's like $7.
So I did the whole seafood, the bag.
Oh
like,
yeah,
so you had the potatoes and the corn.
And it's like $7 or $8 a pound instead of like here where it's like $14 a pound because I got to fly it.
Ridiculous.
I love hot and juicy crawfish, but they.
All right,
they
fine. I'll do Houston.
See you in Houston. UFC 271. Cold coffee.
No,
will be
I'm
there.
Just doing it for that. Like I'm not doing the event.
He's
I'm just
like, I'm not working.
That.
I'm not working. All right, no more COVID-19 talk. I apologize. Buckle in, guys. It's gonna be a crazy couple weeks, but. Support us. We appreciate it. And thanks for listening.